Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of understanding the Virginia General Assembly. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason University. But before I introduce my entire panelist, I'd like for you to meet Delegate Dorothy McDermott, senior member of the Virginia General Assembly. Mrs. McDermott has many activities. She is an educator and a businesswoman. Her numerous affiliations include being chairman of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities and Public Policy. She is chairman of the Virginia Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Advisory Commission and has received the first annual award of the Fairfax County Human Rights Commission. Delegate McDermott.
Glad to be here today. It's important that people understand the Virginia General Assembly. The government of Virginia is a very big business. It's getting toward $11 billion worth of big business. And the board of this big business is the General Assembly, the members of whom are elected by we the people.
To join us, our other panelist is Dr. Martha Allen Turnage. She is Vice President for Public Affairs at George Mason University. Dr. Turnage has her Doctor of Education. She has been working at George Mason University for 3 years in public affairs and represents the university in governmental and civic affairs. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
Exactly. What are we talking about? So many people pay taxes. They live within the Commonwealth of Virginia, yet they don't really understand the importance of their General Assembly. What is the actual composition?
General Assembly is made up of two houses, as are those of most states, the House of Delegates with 100 members and the Senate with 40 members.
Those members, how are they actually delegated to represent the people?
The state is divided into districts carefully on the basis of one man, one vote, and we divide the state every 10 years. We're in the process now of redistricting so that every district in the state will be properly and equitably represented.
You've mentioned that terminology, redistricting, and I'm sure it's something that most residents are concerned about. What does it actually mean?
Well, over the years, the various districts in the state change quite radically. Northern Virginia, particularly, has been growing very fast, and Fairfax County, even more than the rest of Northern Virginia. We almost double every 10 years. This 10 years, we have not quite reached that point, but we just grow like Topsy. And if we did not redistrict the state, those of us in Fairfax County would have a smaller voice in the state's government. Now, in this redistricting, we are going from 10 delegates to 12 delegates because we've grown so much, and I'm speaking of Fairfax. Northern Virginia has 3 extra delegates because Prince William gets one more. And that will mean that somebody in the state gets less. But what we're working for is, as near as we can get it, one man, one vote.
Dr. Turnage, in being a resident of Virginia, what do you feel the major concern of a resident might be in the redistricting of the state?
One of the real concerns that people have is that they have a way of getting directly to their representative, and also that the representative is answerable to a specific area. This has been one of the real concerns that I've heard voiced through the years when there are multiple delegate districts that they cannot possibly have close enough rapport with the representatives who are coming from their area. So I think Mrs. McDermott's one man, one vote sort of concept is certainly something that citizens generally are concerned about.
How often does the General Assembly convene?
It convenes every year, 1 year for 60 days and the following year for 30 days.
Prior to the program, you mentioned something about extensions.
Yes. If the General Assembly finds that there's more business than they can manage in the 60 or 30 days, they can extend the session.
If there is an interest by a citizen to get something introduced into the General Assembly, what would be the best procedure?
Best procedure is to contact one of the delegates and speak to that delegate about the importance of the issue and educate the delegate on how important this is. And then the delegate will prepare a bill, and the bill will be introduced and then acted upon in the proper manner.
Once this bill is introduced, let's assume an individual has gotten to their delegate and it is felt that there is an importance there in the issue. How is that interjected into the session?
The bill is prepared. It goes through legislative drafting so that there are no problems legally with the bill. It then is sent to a committee, which is a committee that has had great experience in that area. We have education, health and welfare, county, cities and towns, conservation, etc. Numerous committees. And the committees over the years have become very expert in the areas in which they serve. So the bill is sent to the committee that has the expertise to handle it. Do you want me to go on from there?
Go right ahead.
Okay. The bill, if it is at all controversial, you would probably ask to have an open hearing on it. And those persons who are interested in the bill succeeding will be there, and those persons who are interested in the bill failing will be there. And they will express their reasons, and the committee will listen carefully. And as I said, the committee is very well cognizant of the problems involved in what comes before it, so that they have a background of knowledge. They will then vote on whether that bill shall be sent on back to the floor of the House or the Senate. And after it comes to the floor, the bill is read for the first time so that people know it's coming up. The next day, it is debated. And if after the debate, the House votes to send the bill on to its third reading, it is then engrossed or printed properly and so on and so on, and the House then considers it without further debate unless there is a request to bring it back to its debatable stage and votes on it. Then it is sent to the other House, which follows the same procedure.
Dorothy, my impression is that whatever action comes out of the committee is seldom reversed on the floor. Is that correct?
Yes, it's almost correct. Most of these bills, as I say, go to the committees where the people understand the problems. And if it comes out of the committee with a substantial vote, and most bills do, then it's pretty well accepted. However, if it comes out of the committee with a large negative vote, people will look at it very carefully and scrutinize it closely, and it may not pass.
Dr. Turnage, I was reading some of the information from the last General Assembly, and within it I noticed a considerable attention was paid to education. What role does the General Assembly have in reference to an institution such as George Mason University?
Well, of course, we are a state-supported university. I might point out, of course, as you know, that public education at the primary, elementary, and secondary level, the state is the prime provider of that, with very little funds coming from any other source for public education and at the at that level. In terms of the institutions of higher education, our funds are basically 70% state provided and 30% student tuition provided. But essentially, all funds have to be approved and appropriated by the state. Even the tuition monies which come in have to then be reappropriated back to the institution. So our relationship to the educational environment in the Virginia General Assembly is one of almost total dependence. And so we have a great deal of concern that there being understanding of the General Assembly and of its function as far as the future of George Mason University is concerned.
Within the context of what Delegate McDermott has said in terms of bills being introduced, what would happen at George Mason University in terms of going after the funding that is necessary to operate the ongoing programs?
We have a very complex budgetary process that we have to go through. Virginia is a formula-funded state. The State Council of Higher Education, which is the statewide coordinating body for higher education, develops what they call Appendix M formulas. And this is based on student enrollment. It's based on your growth projection, because our enrollment projections are provided. It's a negotiated process between the State Council and George Mason University, for example. Once the formula funding budget is developed, there is another kind of budgetary process, which is the governor's target budget. And essentially, this is the governor's staff taking the revenues of the state that are available and dividing that pie and deciding what part of the pie higher education gets. And then you have within the institution another type of budgetary process, which begins at the departmental level, at the service functions. And so this is a programmatic budget approach. And all of these very complex budgetary sorts of processes then have to be negotiated. Priorities have to be set. We have just gotten this week, or very recently, the governor's target budget. During the legislative process, we have the opportunity of addressing legislative amendments to the budget, and we also have the possibility of addendum to the governor's budget. So you see, it's not an easy answer to give, because there are so many indications of growth that have to be considered. If George Mason grows, then people have to consider, what is this meaning in terms of other institutions of higher education in the state? So very, very hard decisions always have to be made in state-supported institutions and agencies.
At some point during our conversation, it was mentioned that it's very important for a legislator to be on top of the situation. Of course, committees have the detailed information that they can supply. In the case of George Mason or any other educational institution, what opportunity does a delegate get to actually have firsthand information to visit the institution that is in question? Could you expound upon that?
Yes, the Appropriations Committee, which is the big money committee in the General Assembly, has just finished a week-long tour of institutions all over the state. On my own part, I try to stay as close to George Mason as I possibly can, because it and the community colleges are very important to Northern Virginia. The George Mason president and faculty and those people here, Martha Turnage, get a hold of us before a General Assembly session and sit us down and say, these are the things we need and why. And every representative from all of the areas have unquestionably been contacted by all the universities, colleges, and other agencies in their areas. Now, many of us serve on subcommittees that meet all year, and that is another opportunity for colleges and universities and mental health institutions and so on to come and tell us of what the needs are.
This has been such an interesting subject. We'll have to do a part two at some time. I'd like to thank both of you for being here. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program produced by George Mason University. Pat Ping, production coordinator. If you'd like information about this program or our guest, you may call area code 703-323-2139. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.